Welcome to Terra Nullius Cyprus podcast. I'm Costa Constanti. Thank you to the CVAR Severis Foundation for the venue that we're recording in the Clarides room. And thank you to Limoncello for their delicious treats and drinks. Today I have another special guest with me, Stelana Kliris. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here, especially on the eve of something very special. I think let's just dive straight into that before we get to know you, because yes. I know people listening to this are going to want to hear the juice first. Stelana has done something historic for Cyprus. Stelana has the first feature film that's filmed in Cyprus in its entirety, if I'm not mistaken, in its entirety, that is going to be featured on Netflix globally.
Worldwide.
Yes. On the 19th of July. So everyone that's got Netflix, or anyone that has a password for Netflix, is going to be able to watch it from the 19th of July, and you're going to see the beauty of Cyprus on the screen. Here in Cyprus, those of us lucky to be on the island will also get to see it at the cinema, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. All K Cineplex and Rio Cinemas on the same day, on the 19th.
So both K Cineplex and Rio Cinemas on the 19th of July as well. For how long?
Nationwide. Depends how well the movie does.
Yeah, well, that's it. Everyone get out there and watch it so we can make sure that this film does well in Cyprus. Let's break some local records. I suspect it's going to do pretty well, because other Cypriot films that have been on the big screen in Cyprus have done well. I think Cypriots love to see themselves on the screen.
And we don't have that many opportunities.
Correct.
And our films usually are more festival orientated. Although, yes, mm-hmm. recently our movies have been in cinemas longer and longer, and they're doing well. And this one is super light and fun. It's a romantic comedy, and it's the only place in the world where you can see it in the big screen. So that's pretty special.
Well, let's hope that the world gets to know Cyprus, and of course Stelana Kliris from Netflix. I know that I've got friends in Australia, the UK, in the US, in Kenya.
Wow.
That have actually told me that they've locked it in. They're actually going to watch it on the premiere night.
Great.
So I'm very excited. Yeah. I've even joked with friends that we're going to do a live watch party when we watch it live on the 19th of July. So what day does that fall?
It's
not
a Friday.
It's a Friday. So that I'm super excited.
Me too.
I'm also excited that's for the first time I'm going to have friends from all over the world able to see our beautiful island for what it is. But what also is important to me is that other producers, other directors, other Hollywood, Bollywood, Olivewood types mm-hmm. are going to see the island and the value it has for filming. I mean, we're an island of, I want to say, 365 days of sunshine.
Yeah.
Unless it's my birthday party.
Of course.
Because it always rains on that day. But no, it's a country full of natural light, dramatic scenery, an amazing range of scenarios, like from forests to beaches to desert to fields to cities to villages, archaeological sites, medieval sites, you name it, we have it all.
And all within close proximity.
And all within
minutes. You get from
minutes.
One to the other, quickly.
I mean, the longest distance cross island, I think, is 2.5 hours. That's and that'll be right. from, like, let's say, Brodaras or Nicosia to Boli Christoku.
That's right.
So we have everything. And I think that the cost of production in Cyprus is much better than in other places.
Yeah, it's still very competitive. Yes. We have wonderful crews, English-speaking crews. And, of course, the big thing is we have the financial incentives from our film commission. And it's one of the best in the world, I think, so if not, you know, at least Europe. So we offer, just to mention it, a 45% cash rebate on below the line, like production expenses, and 25% for above the line, like for cast and producer salaries, which is incredible for a foreign producer to be able to get almost half their money back when they come and they shoot here. Is a huge incentive for
them. Is that just for foreign or Cypriot?
Any feature film that meets the requirements. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's a lot of due diligence that happens with it, but this is what made our film possible. You know, how we managed to put together the financing for Find Me Falling, mm-hmm. and I have to say it was also supported by the Cyprus Deputy Ministry of Culture right from the beginning, from script stage. So it's really homegrown.
So tell me, you mentioned just briefly, then many people might not have caught it, but the name of the film again?
Find Me Falling.
Find Me Falling. Give me a rundown. What's the premise of the film? What's the subtext? What's the summary of it?
I shall very briefly. And it actually has a little link to Australia, which might be interesting for you. So I read an article a few years ago about there's this suicide hotspot in Sydney. And there was this lovely man that used to live there who has since passed away. But he was very kind and he saved like about 160 lives or something.
Is that The Gap?
Is it called No, I don't know if it's The Gap. Okay. I'm not sure. But it was kind of this nice article that I read, and it just kind of captured my imagination. I thought, how interesting if it was a misanthrope, some cranky loner who doesn't want to deal with people and finds himself living in a place like that. And that's what kind of inspired the story. Okay. So very basically, the story is about John Allman. He's a rock star towards the end of his career. He's having a bit of a crisis and he decides to leave the US, leave everything behind. He doesn't want to deal with anybody anymore. And he moves back to this island that he visited in his youth, to Cyprus. Mm-hmm. And he buys this tiny isolated house on top of a cliff. And as he moves in, he discovers that the cliff is a suicide hotspot.
Right, wow.
It remains a feel-good film, though. It's not dark, but this is what then triggers that now he has to deal with people. And through all of this, he finds an old flame, and the story goes from there. And it's just kind of showing how, in connecting with others, he connects with himself.
Tell me, who plays the main character?
It is the divine Harry Connick Jr.
I think some people may have heard of this name.
yes, maybe.
So Harry Connick Jr. was on this island for how long?
So in total about 7 weeks. We shot for 6 weeks. He came for a week of prep before, and he absolutely loved it. His daughters came to visit at different periods, his manager as well, and he had some staff with him, and they genuinely all fell in love with the place, and it was wonderful to have them. And he also really surpassed my expectations. You know how they say, don't meet your heroes, or he was just absolute gent, just the loveliest person.
Oh, wonderful. And look, it couldn't possibly be that hard to be on a Mediterranean island working for a film and working with you, because you're such a delightful, open, smiley character. So I'm sure he was in good hands. Now, some of the other actors, I know there's one, Agnes Scott.
We have to mention the rest of the cast. So we have two beautiful leading ladies, very talented. Agnes Scott, who is Cypriot, she's based in London. Ali Fumika Whitney, who is from the US, but learned to speak the Cypriot dialect and to sing in Greek. She's this incredible singer, actress
as
well.
Does she have Greek background?
Not at all. Wow. And she did a very good job. And then, of course, we have our wonderful local cast. We have Tony Dimitriou, Lea Maleni, Angeliki Filipidou, and Athina Roditou, and also Clarence Smith from the UK. And, of course, we have many supporting roles, because we really wanted to involve our local actors, and very kindly they came, even though it was sort of smaller parts. They were so enthusiastic, and to be a part of this film. I'm glad it ended up on Netflix. I think it worked out for everybody.
Well, I think it's first grade. I mean, I've seen some of your other work in the past. Just remind me the names of some of your previous movies.
So you've got my first feature is called Committed. So Find Me Falling is my second as a director. But before that, there were some short films. So The Fiddler and To the Moon and Back. Yeah.
I've seen To the Moon and Back. I haven't seen The Fiddler.
That's old.
I might need to dig that one out. Okay, and then Committed also did quite well, if I'm not mistaken.
That was maybe not even the cost of our catering on this film. I don't think it was a tiny micro-budget film. We had 12 crew members.
Catering's not
actors.
Cheap. You're feeding Cypriots. It's not cheap.
No, Committed was, but it's a real, again, work of heart. And it was, the tiniest crew, two actors, Milia Kryling, Naresi Sofoklos. And it did well. It got really good distribution around the world. It got option for remakes. The remakes didn't happen in the end, or have not happened yet, but for what it was, it did quite well. But I learned a lot from that and kind of geared up towards doing something,
I think if you have managed on your second feature film to star on Netflix and be on the big screen in Cyprus, that's a pretty big achievement in such a small amount of time. I mean, I won't say you're punching above your weight, because that almost sounds insulting, but punching hard.
It's awesome. No. It was something that it does feel like something that's very out of reach. I mean, it's incredibly competitive. It's not easy to get onto Netflix as a Netflix film. I mean, it's
And how long does it stay on Netflix? It just depends on the popularity.
It's, yeah, no, well, no, no, no. It's a deal. They have us for the next 25 years.
Oh, wow.
It's world rights yeah. package. They the film is theirs now and happily so. Yeah,
yeah. No, but look, I have to say that the Netflix phenomenon, I was very slow to join the party because my thing was, no, you've got to watch movies on the big screen. That's the way it is. I think the pandemic for me is what flipped my mind around how you can entertain yourself when it comes to the big screen. Because as much as I love the cinema, and I took my girls to the cinema just the other day and we had a great time. It was a nice outing. But there is that element of there's only so many times you can leave the house, go to the cinema. You know, it's a story behind it. But Netflix is something that is there. It's accessible. It's affordable. Whilst there's arguments behind how much money there is to be made for directors and actors.
Yeah, you know, it's a big conversation. I mean, I love both. Obviously, I will always love the cinema and I hope it stays strong. It's obviously going through a difficult period at the moment. Mm-hmm. But of course, yeah, streaming for somebody who's like, for example, a new parent, you know, you don't get to go out to the movies and you still want, and or people that are in places where maybe you don't have access to cinemas that now anybody anywhere in the world can watch something on Netflix. So they both serve a purpose.
They do. They do. But I also think that I don't think necessarily people are going to the cinema less because of Netflix. I just think they may be watching more TV. I think Netflix, screens, I should say. I think what Netflix did do was take people away from maybe live TV. For example, here in Cyprus, our live TV, I'm going to call it. It's not the most exciting TV channels we have here. So for me, Netflix was an out. I could watch what I want, when I want, and quality. And that's what's great about Netflix. And all the other ones. I mean, I won't name the other ones because they're right now we're very happy with Netflix. But yeah. So tell me, you told us how the idea was born. How did you pick your locations for the screening? Because, I mean, I saw the trailer and some of the scenery looks amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I know Cyprus. No one needs to tell me that this place has amazing scenery. But how did you pick the scenery? Did you jump in your car, drive around? What did you do?
Yeah. I think it was a great opportunity to get to know the island. I'll try summarize because it was a huge story. And this is something we were supposed to shoot in 2020. And obviously with the pandemic. So it's been many years in the making. And also, like I always say, this is a love letter to Cyprus, but not deliberately so. We're not trying to make it, you know, a tourism video, but it was a nice organic way to show off the island. And you want to have something that's cinematic and beautiful. And the big location, which is almost a character in itself, is the cliff where we would put the house. And actually, originally, we wanted to go to Akrotiri, and it's actually called Kensington Cliffs, which are, I mean, it's my favorite beach there by Kurium, and I love those places. And we had a really fruitful back and forth with, because, you know, they're under the bases. And we did manage to get permission, but it was so specific in terms of timing because there's an endangered vulture species that lives there, and they were like, you can only shoot in November, and if we have exercises to do, we can pull the permit. And obviously with filming that doesn't work. I mean, it's so expensive to set things up and to bring the actors here. So I realized, as beautiful as it was, that wasn't an option, and I just started going around, and it needed to be a steep cliff over the sea that you could get a house on that looked remote. So eventually we found in Greek it's Aspros Podamos, White River Beach, and there's a beautiful cliff there. We had to erase the very few houses that are behind it to make it look a little more remote.
So that was obviously post-production, but, whatever, like where
post was huge, But it was a gorgeous, gorgeous location, and it's also environmentally protected, so we couldn't build the house there. We built it in a factory, and then we had to bring it there like a couple of days before the shoot, set it up, and then we shot for like about 2 weeks and then removed it as if it never existed, and, you know, without disturbing.
So you left no footprint.
Exactly. And we had to be out of there before a certain date because the turtles come up at night to lay their eggs on the beach below.
Wow.
And you don't want to have lights to, you know, to confuse them and so on.
So many moving parts.
It's like a giant video game and trying to work everything out and put.
So when you say you built this house in a factory.
Yeah.
So is it made out of polystyrene? What is it like?
No. It's the prefabricated house. Yeah. It was a windowrama who in Paphos and did an amazing job under a lot of pressure. pressure. And our production designer, Lydia Mandridu, with Marius Nokleos, our art team, it's mostly made of wood, but it's a proper functioning house with, you know, plumbing, electricity. We obviously we obviously took out, we didn't put like insulation and so on because it's a set, but it's it's actually for sale at the moment. And unless maybe we do a sequel, so maybe we'll hang on to it.
maybe we should keep it so we can be put into a museum in the future. Cyprus is first feature film on Netflix. That's the house.
That's the house. That'd That's actually awesome. A nice idea.
And then you could Airbnb it.
I know. This was, if I had a plot of land, then I would have bought the house myself. But it's so cute, and it's not very big, but it's a gorgeous set, and it had lots of nice little touches that the art team put in. So
And was, of the four walls, was one more wall missing so you could get cameras in and out?
No. Huh? We made, because you know we I don't know if we moved all the way around the house, but you would do that in a studio. But with us, it was like a proper full standing house. So it would also be protected from the elements because we had props and equipment and stuff inside.
What months was this that you filmed?
We shot in May and June of 2022. It was 30 shooting days.
How was the weather?
It was great.
I mean, it was obviously always sunny, but it
got hot. It got hotter towards the end, which was maybe difficult for the non-Cypriots. But for us it was fine. Yeah, you want to be done by mid-June in Cyprus. Yeah,
because I know that a lot of archaeologists work in the summer months because it's guaranteed no rain. They don't need to cover everything.
Yeah.
But it's also one of the gruelingly hot and tiring months. So I've always wondered with filming.
Yeah.
Granted that you've got a very good success rate of weather prediction in Cyprus. So if you know it's going to rain, you know about a week in advance and you can pull sensitive equipment away and whatever. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to be filming in August.
No, you can't. I mean, my first job in Cyprus, I was a coordinator on a feature here, and the cameras stopped working. It's too hot. It was this record high summer, and
But then it's also a great time to go up into the mountains to film, because so you can film scenic mountain villages, alpine looking backgrounds. Yet it's warm enough. I mean, like, you could wear costumes that are heavy and hot without dying in the middle of summer to drop high, you know.
Well, actually, that's a nice segue to jump to the other main location of the film is a village. And I got to tour all of the beautiful little villages in Cyprus with my husband. We went driving around. And in the end, and obviously there were many wonderful options, but you also need to have, like, space to, you know, house the whole crew and the equipment. And it's, you know, that's also quite expensive. And in the end, we went to Kaimakli in Nicosia, an old town.
Okay.
And we shot all of our village scenes right here in Nicosia. In fact, just down the street from the Sibelius Foundation is one of my favorite little scenes that we shot at night, because we have these beautiful pockets in Nicosia with the cobbled streets and the old houses that looks exactly the same as a village that you might find in, you know, in the mountains and so on.
So the filming was done in Kaimakli and old Nicosia. Neighborhoods. So yes, I'm very excited. I can't wait to see this film and recognize my streets.
You will. You'll see all the little cheats here and there, you know. And we also went to a beach in Paralimni. We had a few extra little, and we used the old hospital in Larnaca, which the top floor, which hasn't been used since the 80s. I think now they're going to turn it into something else, into the municipality, but that was incredible. So we had this huge cleanup team like to get it ready, because it had the architecture we wanted of what a little hospital would look like in a small village.
Well, look, I mean, you remember the series in Cyprus, Air Fuxia?
Yes.
And that made Figaro famous, right? Because it was filmed in Figaro.
Right.
I wonder if we're going to have tourists or locals going through Kaimakli trying to spot the scenes of the film. Well, look, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Well, look, so now let's take a step back. Let's get to know Stelana a little bit better. Where were you born?
As you can hear from the accent, South Africa, in Pretoria. We're born and raised till I graduated.
Graduated high school, university.
So
you were in South Africa until you finished university. So that was literally last week, because...
Yes, of course.
So what did you study?
Journalism, actually. I always wanted to do film, but there wasn't a really good film school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went for kind of the next best option. And I studied at Rhodes University in Grahamstown.
Mm-hmm.
And my specialization was, you know, documentary filmmaking. So it was as close as I could get. You know,
so you had your little segue there, and then your natural talent kicks in when you got to Cyprus.
And then you just try and work. Yeah, I went to London. It was so hard to get my foot in the door in the industry back then. We're talking over like 20 years ago. And then I ended up getting work in Athens at a post-production company. company as an editor, doing commercials. And but I didn't want to be sort of stuck in a room all day. I wanted to be out on set. So eventually I moved on to Green Olive Films as a production coordinator. And that's kind of where I started my career. And then eventually moved to Cyprus. And the nice thing is that we kind of did a full circle, because Green Olive Films then did the ran the production for Find Me Falling. So
Green Olive Films does some really good work in Cyprus.
No,
I've seen
great,
some of their productions.
Great.
They're fantastic. They're Athenian-based, if I'm not mistaken.
They're here in Nicosia, but Sakis Manganis, who was our line producer, is based there.
That's right. I knew there was an Athenian link. Another great place for filming, by the way. Like, you can get that desert village look.
No, we have great locations.
So, okay, and did you come back to... Did you leave South Africa on your own, or did the family come with you? Where's your family these days?
Most of them have come back to Cyprus. Mm-hmm. Some are in Australia, actually. It's very few in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But they all left. I left on my own to London, and I was pressured for years to move to Cyprus. And I kept saying, what am I going to do on this small island? There's no film industry, and so on. Yeah. So where there isn't, you
create. It.
Exactly.
Ah, well done.
Exactly. And I used to visit a lot, and just the island really grew on me. I loved being here. I loved, spending time with my family. I liked the pace of it and the simplicity of it. And I think I eventually reached a bit of a burnout in Athens. The commercial industry is very intense, and it was all I was doing. And I was on my own, and I missed my family.
How long were you in Athens for?
7 years.
Wow.
So it was a long time. And I with university, I'd left home at 17. So I hadn't spent like a lot of time with my parents. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
I mean, by this stage, your parents were in Cyprus?
They were in Cyprus. Yeah. They left about a month after me, actually. They thought it would take them longer, but they sold up the shop, and, we had a little fish and chip shop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the classic Cypriot immigrant upbringing. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, so absolute side note, but who took over the fish and chip shop? What ethnicity were they?
Actually, I don't know, to be honest.
Because in Melbourne, I noticed that all the fish and chip shops were run by Greeks, Cypriots, some Lebanese, some Italians, but mainly Greeks and Cypriots. And they're all being sold now to Vietnamese and Chinese migrants. And it's so interesting, because I've always associated fish and chips with the Hellenes.
Yes.
And yet it's really a British thing. But now I'm associating it with a Southeast Asian.
A different ethnicity.
Yeah, and it's still fish and chips. And they do a good job, I must admit. But I digress.
No.
But,
it's
okay,
all part
your
of
family,
it.
Where is your family from in Cyprus?
So my mom's from Luvara, but since the age of 10, she was in Rizokarpaso, which is also where my dad is from. So they're both from...
They met in Rizokarpaso?
Actually, no. Even though they were from the same village, they met in South Africa. My dad was an immigrant. My mom was a refugee from the war. And he was trying to bring his mother over to South Africa, and she wrote him a letter and told him, I will only come if you marry Athanasia Christodoulou. And he tracked my mother down.
Get out. And he did that this is such a Cypriot story. Like, I want my mummy, and if I have to marry this Athanasia, I will do that. Anything for mama, right?
That's right.
Oh, wow. That's
right.
I won't go into your family's relationship.
It was
a success story. They're obviously still together.
No, they're together. But he never wanted to settle down. They were complete opposite characters.
Your mother left in 1974 with the war.
Yes.
She's a refugee.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And your dad, when had he left?
Early. I think he left in the 60s. I want to say 68. Might have been a little bit earlier.
So he left as an economic migrant.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Have they been back since? Gates have opened?
One time, because I asked them to, they had no intention of going. Mm. But I grew up hearing about Rizokarpaso, and I wanted to see where their home was. So when I was still living in Greece, I don't know if it was very soon after the borders opened, we went for one trip over, and it was very hard for them. It was quite a sad trip.
Yeah.
So but I'm glad that we went and we saw it. Yeah.
I was actually just there last week, because my dad's from Yalusa, the neighboring
photos,
village.
Wow.
And we have relatives that are in Rizokarpaso, or Greek Cypriots that live there today. And it's just, look, it is a beautiful part of the island.
I mean,
it's stunning. I see, because I know that you know Buff as well because of the filming and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I see Karpasia as the, you can juxtapose Bafos to Karpasia. Like, they've got very similar, they're both rural, they've both got nice beaches, they've both got small archaeological sites, they're stunning ends of the island. And I'd love to see, imagine how many spots you had to choose from for filming in just half the island. There are so many more places on the whole island. I really look forward to the day where, you can be filming on the Golden Beach in Rizokarpaso, or in, Aspro, Boda, Moina, and it's Beya. And now, on that note, I asked you before we started recording, but I want to ask again now for the recording. The banner, the poster of the movie has a church, St. George.
That's
I know it
right.
is St. George. I recognized it because that's the kind of weirdo that I am, that I remember places I visited. But that's St. George in Beya.
Mm-hmm.
What made you pick that particular church? Is it the background up against the beautiful
yes,
sea?
It's so cinematic. Because you do a lot of cheating with locations in films, you want to tie the locations together. And we really wanted to give the idea of an island and the Mediterranean and so on. So we really wanted a seaside church. So again, I kind of toured all the churches along the coast, and this one, and it was very convenient, obviously, because it really was the church of the region. And we only used the exterior, and we used an interior here in Nicosia.
Which church?
Cassiano. Yeah, right here.
That's my grandmother's church. I baptized my twins there.
You're kidding.
You know, it's the only church in the world named Ayos Cassianos, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, he's a local saint. He was a Roman soldier that converted, and his helmet is in that church. I'm not religious, but it's such a cool story.
I love
it. His helmet is in that church. So when I went to book the christening, the priest said, "Do you have headache?" And I went, "Sometimes." He goes, "Here, put this on your head." And there's this tiny little helmet, like it would literally fit a child. And I sat it on my head like a party hat.
Yeah.
And he's going, "That will heal your headaches." I'm like, "Okay."
Did it?
No, I didn't. But, but probably because, you know, I should have more faith.
You should have, yes.
But no, Ayos Cassianos, the interior is stunning. So good. And that's like one of the reasons why I chose to have the baptism there, because other than sentimental value, it's also such a beautiful photographic church. But I mean, look, back to Ayos Yorgos, St. George Church in Beya. For those that don't know, it's right next door. There's a Roman archaeological site with mosaics. So, I mean, I'm only saying this because I know that people are going to go hunting for these locations. And I want to say that there's more than just the church. The church, beautiful, great setting. To the, I want to say, the southeast of the church, there's an archaeological site with Roman mosaics. It's second only to the Paphos mosaics on the island. So there's some beautiful things there. But then below the church on the cliff going down to the sea, let's say, there are Greco-Roman caves that are accessible. And if you go in, they've even got ancient engravings of crosses and whatnot on the wall. So it's very fascinating. So not well known, not even to locals.
Can I jump in? Yeah. Well, actually, there is an NYU archaeologist and professor, I don't know if you know, Joan Connolly, who's been coming to Cyprus for the last 33 plus years every summer to dig in that spot. They dig specifically on the little island just off the coast
you can see. Ayos Island, isn't it?
No, it's got, I'm going to forget the name now, but she digs there, and there's a whole warehouse full of findings that then they give to the museum.
Oh, wow.
She was made an honorary citizen of Paphos this year. And the reason I know her is because she's very good friends with this distributor from the US who were here on holiday when we were filming, and they didn't manage to come to set, but I met them somewhere else.
Hieronymus.
Yeah, that's right.
I just found it on Google Maps. Yeah, no, it's amazing, isn't it? That little island that no one, it's not really accessible, has so much history on it. I've seen some of the small little pot handles and whatnot that's been stored in the Paphos Museum from that. But what's her name again?
Joan Connolly. And she's she's incredible. And she's the nice link with movies is that, you know, George Lucas has used her to discuss, you know, archetypes in his films. She's in some of his documentaries.
Oh, wow.
And she sometimes brings, you know, like sort of sponsors or people over, you know, to help with the digs. And one of them a few years ago apparently was Bill Murray.
Oh.
Unbeknownst to anybody, he was in Cyprus doing an archaeological dig for about a month in that area. So isn't that insane?
That's wow. And Bill Murray.
Right?
I love Bill Murray. He shares a birthday with one of my daughters.
Oh, wow.
So I'm actually a big fan, not just because of birthday, but – and he was in Cyprus.
Yes, many years ago apparently. But there are all these – it's just all these amazing little things happening on our island with these incredible people.
Look, it's a fascinating island. The amount of people that come in and out of this is one of the reasons why I started doing these podcasts, because there's so many interesting things, people, events, historical moments linked to Cyprus. And yet somehow Cyprus seems to fall under the radar in the international community.
Not anymore.
And this is why I am so happy that I can now brag to the world and say, go watch Netflix, watch
Find Me Falling.
I went to say something else and I'm not going to say because I'm going to confuse everyone. But yeah, make sure you watch it. 19th of July. It's going to be absolutely epic. I mean, the trailer is spectacular. Where can people see the trailer? They can just go to YouTube and type in Find
YouTube
Me Falling.
YouTube or Netflix's page. Yeah, yeah. And it's come out in, I've seen it in Italian and German and I think Spanish, which is surreal. So, and just to throw some numbers out, I mean, so, which again, it's hard to wrap your brain around, but it's being translated into over 30 languages.
No.
Like, it's insane.
For voiceovers or for subtitles?
According to each country, because some countries use dubbing and some just do subtitles, but the translations happen. Like, over 30 languages, 190 countries, 260 million accounts. Like, those, I keep saying those numbers because it's wild to me.
So I don't think Cyprus has ever had that much reach. Ever, other than maybe when Baghdadis was in the the Australian Open final, because that's when a lot of Australians discovered Cyprus. Yeah. But I can't think of any other moment where Cyprus or Love Cyprus, Visit Cyprus, the tourism group.
Yeah,
I don't think they've ever had that kind of reach before.
And well, they've been very supportive. They've also been helping us promote, and I'm really counting on. For starters, maybe hopefully the diaspora around the world who does know Cyprus and will get really excited and just get the word out. It's great to put us on the map because once people need to know where a place is before they can start digging into the other issues as well.
Well, look, didn't ABBA, the Mamma Mia movie, they put Skopelos on the map.
Yes.
You know, I don't think many people knew what Skopelos was. It doesn't even have an airport, and it's put it on the map. And I know that everyone that visits Skiathos at a minimum does a day trip over to Skopelos
to go see,
because of this movie. And movies have that effect. I mean, it's just like people, they want to see famous people. Okay.
They want to go to spots where famous people were.
not just where famous people were, but they want to see places in real life that they've seen on TV. Yes. It's like that Figaro phenomenon I mentioned earlier. Like, I saw Figaro on TV. It's been there forever. But now that it's been on TV, I've been educated about its existence. It's in my memory. It's in my frontal lobe. And off I go and visit it. And I mean, like the taverna in that village has sustained itself on these day trippers and whatnot.
Yeah.
And this is what I think is going to happen. Like, whether it's in Gaymaglia or old Nicosia.
Yeah.
Because Nicosia is not on the tourist trail.
Yeah.
This will help certainly put Cypriots onto the Nicosia tourist trail. Maybe others that visit. But I mean, it will put Beja and the rural Beja on the tourist map. Yeah. What are your next steps? What's your next feature film? Can we jump the gun before this one's even on our screen?
I didn't want to jinx anything. Yeah, no. Obviously, we finished shooting this 2 years ago, so I've been working on multiple other projects. I have a series that I'm working on, and I'm producing for Yanna Americano, a local filmmaker, her second feature, which is called My Name is Lily. My name is Lily.
Lily.
Yeah, super interesting. We're still at early stages with that. Again, all of these supported by the Deputy Ministry of Culture. Mm-hmm. But my next feature is called Apart From Her, and it's different because I normally do feel good films and rom-coms, but this is my passion project. It's based on a lot of my parents' stories. It's about the people who left Cyprus during the war in 74 and went to South Africa, and I always thought it was interesting because they left one divided place for another, because South Africa was in the middle of the apartheid regime. And I just thought it would be a very interesting way to look at the theme of identity and prejudice and look at the Cyprus problem with a little bit of distance, like from South Africa, because the majority of the film takes place there, but we do have some flashbacks in Cyprus, and it follows this woman who moves over, because back then the way that many women got their visas to go to a new country was through arranged marriages. So we get to the airport and there's a Cypriot guy there, but he's a stranger for all intents and purposes, and he's got her photo, and they meet, they get married, and they start a life together in a strange land. So I thought that was a really interesting premise, and We're working on it, and if everything goes well, we'll be shooting by November, hopefully, here in, and we're going to do the whole thing in Cyprus.
I was about
again.
To ask you, are you going to be filming the South African scenes in Cyprus?
We're actually going to film the South African scenes in Cyprus. We originally were going to go to South Africa, but it became very difficult with the financing and so on. So we'll be in Cyprus. It's a very intimate story, so it's a lot of interiors and so on. So it's completely doable.
I'm very curious to see what South Africa is going to look like through a Cypriot lens.
Yeah. Well, I found there's a lot of jacaranda trees suddenly in Nicosia, which is super South African. That makes me very nostalgic. So. But I'm very excited about this one. We have, again, some excellent cast attached, which I can't mention yet. But I'm hoping that all goes well. So
no, and I'm sure it will. I mean, like your hit rate is obviously phenomenal already. I mean, you've got the talent, you've got the passion, you've got the connections now, you've got the support of the whole country behind you. I mean, There's no one I haven't met that doesn't know this film coming out on the 19th.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And I'm so super excited. And look, bringing film to Cyprus, putting the island on the film map on the international scale, filming South Africa in Cyprus. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was a movie about Cyprus filmed in Malta some years ago. I don't know if you heard this.
Which one?
I can't remember the name of it, but it was actually about, it was like a kind of like a documentary movie on Cyprus.
Wow.
On the British period. It was filmed in Malta because this was pre
the incentives. Yeah, all the incentives.
And it was, I felt embarrassed at the time thinking that, like, how is my island with this perfect location to film? And especially for a film about Cyprus, just was a no-brainer. And yet it was filmed in Malta.
Yeah.
And those in the industry that were involved would know what I'm talking about. But no, I'm just so glad to see that, you know, they filmed Game of Thrones in Malta. They've filmed Star Wars in Tunisia.
There's
no reason why these crews can't do Cyprus. Guaranteed weather, amazing food, amazing people, talent, English language, the tax rebates and all these benefits.
Everything is there.
There is absolutely nothing against
this. We're still growing and it's a combination of both the local industry being supported so that our crews get experience and training and they grow, and then offering, you know, the incentives to bring in, you know, foreign productions.
We haven't mentioned the name of your studio, Meraki Films.
Films, my company.
Your company, I should say.
Yeah. There's a lot of, and I always, it's always a huge point of anxiety because I don't want to forget people. Obviously, there's, you know, we had over 160 cast and crew members.
All right, name them all.
I do want to do a little shout out to Stefan Metzner, who is our director of photography. All those beautiful images that you see are through his lens. And So
the name again?
Stefan Metzner, who is German. But he's been in Cyprus, I mean, as long as any of us, and he's, I've done all my films with him so far, and he's just this wonderful calm, steady rock for me whenever we're shooting, very positive and sort of keeps me on track.
You need people like that around
you.
And how about your husband, has he managed to survive all this?
Just barely. My husband is probably the reason why any of this is even happening. We, you know, we had a 2-year-old daughter at the time of shooting, Leia. Alex is a big Star Wars fan. Alex, my parents, my in-laws, really, but yeah, especially Alex, just held down the fort so that I could go off and do this.
Brilliant.
You'll actually see them very briefly in the film. There was a close-up, but it got cut out. But there's a shot of the two of them. She's eating candy floss. You can even see it in the trailer, and he's holding her. So that's, they do a little cameo.
So it wasn't like a BBC interview moment where they walk in and then you've got to get them pulled out. Like, it was actually meant to be there.
Yes. They were there. It was a bad idea in the end because she had to eat candy floss for 2 hours because we keep doing takes, and then it was the worst sugar rush of her life, so it wasn't the smartest thing.
But she's going to remember that, I'm sure.
I know.
Well, look, Stelana, I really, really appreciate this. I know how busy you are. I know that everyone's trying to get your attention these days. I can't wait. 19th of July, as you're listening to this, it's going live on Netflix.
Yay.
Find Me Falling by Stelana Cleartis. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I cannot wait to see your next movie start. November this year we start
filming. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Godspeed to you. And I'm looking forward to having you back on the podcast. We'll talk about your next movie once it's ready.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And to everybody for all the love. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. Island Talks. Open. Diverse. Free.